Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Mind Body Herb podcast, the show where we dive deep into the truth behind women's health, hormones, and healing. Today, we're talking about something that's often overlooked, yet deeply impactful. It's the true cost of undernourishment, especially for women. We live in a culture that glorifies eating less, staying small, and ignoring our hunger cues, all in the name of health or beauty or even discipline. But what's the real price that we pay for that? From hormonal imbalances, fertility issues, to chronic fatigue, mood swings, anxiety, and a slowed metabolism, undernourishment can quietly sabotage every aspect of a woman's well-being. In this episode, I'll break down the hidden ways undereating shows up, how it's linked to burnout, cycle irregularities, and even thyroid dysfunction, but most importantly, what true nourishment really looks like. So whether you've been stuck in diet culture, struggling with your energy, or just feel like your body's working against you, this episode is for you. Let's get into it. One of the reasons that I actually decided to study nutrition was when I was in my mid-20s, I really struggled with my relationship with food and my body. I had gained some weight after high school, and I was desperate to get that extra 20 pounds off, and I had tried every single diet under the sun. Vegan, vegetarian, keto, intermittent fasting. I've tried the fat loss drugs. I signed up for half marathons. You name it, I tried it. And I was very much stuck on this mentality, especially when it came to weight loss, of that exercise, move more. So I took that to the extreme, and I thought if I ate like a bird and exercised like crazy, then I was going to reach my goals. And oftentimes I did, but I was never ever able to maintain it. I inevitably was never able to manage my hunger or ward off those sugar cravings that I had, and then I would go back to normal eating and I'd put the weight on again. And this happened back and forth probably 3 or 4 times until I got to the point where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I had the epiphany that I needed to stop focusing solely on weight loss, and instead I flipped the switch on how to actually nourish my body properly. I took what I learned from school and I started eating in a way that supported my hormone health, my energy, my digestive health, and the weight actually just fell off without even really thinking about it. So teaching women how to let go of that restrictive diet mentality and learning how to nourish themselves is exactly why I created my online program, Nourish. Typically, when women are coming to work with me, they're looking at managing 3 things. Number one is usually weight loss. Sometimes it's not the first thing that they're wanting to handle, but it's part of the equation. And also, there's usually an underlying hormonal imbalance. Sometimes that can be things like PCOS, endometriosis, women in their perimenopause, menopausal years experiencing syndrome, and then also wanting to have a better relationship with food and their body. Times they're actually unaware of how this undernourishment and over-exercising picture is actually influencing other parts of their health, especially their hormonal health, and in some cases having the opposite effect of what they actually want it to be doing. So we'll get into what the impact of that actually is on our hormone health. So unfortunately, as a society, we have been kind of obsessed with the idea of thinness, of being small, that our worth is based off how we look. And one of my favorite quotes that I have ever heard was that women were taught how to diet and never taught how to nourish themselves. So first, let's delve into the hormonal impact that undernourishment and chronic stress and undereating causes. So oftentimes, if we are not eating enough and we're over-exercising, that can increase our stress hormones. And for many women, especially if weight loss is the goal, this can actually backfire. Chronic stress impacts our blood sugar levels, can increase cravings, increase our hunger levels, can increase fat storage, especially around the midsection, and lead to things like anxiety and burnout. The other thing that can happen is the influence that it has on the cycle. So for some women, if you are very low body fat and really not getting enough calories in, this can lead to hypothalamic amenorrhea. So this is the loss of the cycle. What kind of happens here is that the body thinks that, hey, we don't have enough nutrients and sustenance to sustain hardly ourselves, let alone another being. So we're going to shut that whole process down. We need to have a cycle. We need to be ovulating, especially for optimal hormone health. Kind of the ideal body fat percentage for women is around 18 to upwards of 25%. Lack of nourishment can also downregulate the thyroid, slow down our metabolism. We'll talk about the impact of yo-yo dieting on metabolic health a little bit further. It can decrease estrogen and progesterone and and testosterone function, which can lead to fatigue, anxiety, hair loss, and infertility. Undernourishment can also severely impact digestive health. So if we're not getting enough nutrients in to repair the lining of the stomach and the gut to support adequate stomach acid, get things kind of moving along and aid in that peristalsis, then that's when we can run into things like bloating, constipation, even food intolerances. If someone is a chronic yo-yo dieter or is drastically cutting their calories too low, this can also severely impact our metabolic health. So what happens is the body is very, very smart when it comes to our metabolism. So if someone is typically eating around 2,000 calories per day and then all of a sudden is going down to 1,200 calories a day, the body gets super smart. It thinks, okay, we're only getting a certain amount of nutrients and calories in per day. We better get pretty strategic of how we are using that. So it's going to down-regulate metabolic health so that you're not burning through all your resources. You might notice that maybe your hair is not coming in as quick or growing as fast, or maybe your nails are a little bit brittle because the body doesn't see those things as being important if we're not getting in adequate nutrients. The other thing that happens too is if we are in too much of a deficit is the impact that it has on our muscle mass. Muscle is a big driver of overall metabolic health. It helps to sop up excess glucose. And we want to prioritize our muscle mass as much as possible, especially as we age. So what happens now is our metabolism has downregulated. We've lost some muscle mass. And the body's super smart and it wants us to get back up to that set point weight. So it'll actually increase our hunger hormones, making it nearly impossible to stay in that calorie deficit for a long period of time. So now the dieter goes back to eating normally because they can't stay in that deficit any longer or ignore those hunger and cravings. But now their metabolism has slowed. They don't have enough muscle mass, and then they're putting on weight at a significant rate. So I want to be clear about what undernourishment actually is. So it's not necessarily just about not eating enough calories, but it's also about not getting in enough nutrients to support the body's most important functions. This includes things like protein, good fats, carbohydrates, vitamins and minerals like iodine, selenium, iron, zinc, B vitamins. Many women are unknowingly undernourished. They might be getting enough calories and those kind of bigger macronutrients, but they're not getting in those micronutrients. And this can be because they are chronically under eating, they're skipping meals, maybe they're following a more restrictive diet or avoiding major food groups in the name of health. So let's delve into the impact that undernourishment has on the thyroid health. So when we're not eating enough, the body senses that it's in survival mode. So one of its protective mechanisms is to slow down the metabolic rate. And that includes reducing thyroid hormone output, especially T3, the active thyroid hormone. The thyroid also needs specific nutrients in order to function properly, things like iodine, selenium, zinc, iron, B12, and especially protein. So if our diet is low in these nutrients, then the thyroid can't do its job properly. And over time, this can contribute to things like hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's. As mentioned, chronic dieting, chronic undereating, and overexercising is a form of stress. When the body doesn't get enough food, cortisol rises, and high cortisol actually suppresses thyroid function. It also blocks the conversion of T4 to T3 and increases reverse T3, which is an inactive form that slows down metabolism. The most healing things that you can do for your thyroid is to ensure that you're eating enough and eating nutrient-dense meals and balanced meals regularly. That I did want to speak about was food noise. So food noise refers to the constant intrusive thoughts about food that many people experience, especially when dieting or restricting food. So it can be that kind of mental chatter, like what can I eat next? Thinking about your next meal. Should I be eating this? Did I have too much carbs? Not enough protein? Why did I choose that? I should have made a better decision. I already ate too much today. I'll start over tomorrow. I want that snack, but I really shouldn't. Typically, this internal dialogue becomes louder the more you restrict both physically and mentally. So either not eating enough, but also labeling foods as off limits or as bad. So food noise really happens for a number of reasons. One is a biological response to restriction. When we eat too little, especially not enough protein, fiber, and good fats, the body will naturally increase hunger hormones and decrease satiety signals. So this will ramp up cravings and food thoughts. Mental deprivation. So even if you're eating enough, when you label foods or yourself that you're good or bad or that you can't have certain things, one of the common terms I hear is like, I just smell bread and I put on 10 pounds. The brain starts to become preoccupied with that kind of forbidden fruit. blood sugar instability can also impact that food noise, along with certain conditions like insulin and leptin resistance. If we're going too long between meals or not eating enough protein or fiber, we're eating lots of processed carbs and sugar, this will lead to spikes and crashes with our blood sugar, increasing cravings and food obsession. So a few ways that you can quiet that food nap is, one, eat enough and eat consistently. I am a big breakfast pusher. If you work with me or if you're one of my students at the college, you will know I talk about breakfast all the time. There is tons of research around eating a high protein breakfast within about an hour and a half of waking and how that helps to regulate our hunger hormones, our stress hormones, and helps to keep blood sugar levels nice and regulated. Ditching food rules and labels can also be very beneficial. Learning how to incorporate some of our favorite foods can help limit some of that obsessive thoughts around specific foods that we have deemed off limit. Practicing neutrality with some of these things can also be good. Instead of saying, I can't have those things in my house, sometimes just normalizing helps to take the power away from that. One thing that I also suggest with clients is not waiting until you are absolutely starving to eat. I often kind of will say that we should go into our meals feeling ready to eat, but not super starving. So this might mean planning a little bit ahead and making sure you're eating at more regular intervals and making sure you're having snacks handy in between meals so that you get to that meal at a comfortable level of hunger. When we're overly hungry, this can lead to things like panic eating and a ramp up of that food noise, and sometimes can lead us to overeating and then feelings of guilt afterwards. There also can be other things that influence our drive to eat. Sometimes it can be emotional. Sometimes it can be hormonal related, maybe where you're at in the different phases of your cycle, what your stress levels are sitting at. If you have things like insulin resistance or leptin resistance, which we kind of touched on already, this can really drive up hunger and cravings specifically. So those need to 100% need to be addressed. Thinking about food all day long, thinking about our bodies, worrying about our bodies, constantly second guessing our food choices can be extremely exhausting. That energy could be used in so many better ways in order to show up better at work, for our family, for our kids, for our goals and our dreams. There really is nothing more unhealthy than having a poor relationship with food and the body. To rebuild that trust with our food and with our body and let go of that food noise. One thing that I think can be incredibly helpful is education around food. Once we have a better understanding about how food fuels the body, how it supports brain health, hormone health, digestive health, and how different nutrients are utilized in the body, then we start to look at food and view it very differently. We start to get more curious versus fearful around that food is just going to make us put on weight, which is just not the case. The body is super smart again. And it knows how to regulate appetite and our body fat percentage. Unfortunately, with typical kind of lifestyle and dietary choices, those get skewed. A strategy that I like to use is actually looking at the plate and asking the question, what else can I add to this meal to make it more nourishing? Can I add a drizzle of olive oil? Can I add a little bit more protein? Can I add some color onto the plate? When we are in a weight loss journey, especially, we kind of get consumed with what we can take off our plate and what we can cut and what we can limit. Sometimes it's about flipping that switch and helping to regulate those blood sugar levels, increasing nutrient content in our meals, and it can actually help us stay in a calorie deficit much easier. On that topic, if you are on a weight loss journey, we want to avoid very strict calorie deficits. Ideally, 300 to 400 calorie deficit per day is all that you need in order to reach your weight loss goals. I always say slow and steady is going to win the race. If you follow a program that tells you you're going to lose 20 pounds in a month, I want you to turn around and run the other way because it will not be sustainable. Eating enough protein, eating enough fiber, and whole foods will also help to manage some of that food noise. Protein and fiber are both very satiating and help to delay gastric emptying, helping to regulate blood sugar better. So ideally, we want at the very minimum 25 grams of protein at our main meals, upwards of 30, even 40 grams of protein. And for fiber, ideally for women, we want to aim between 30 and 35 grams a day. So like I mentioned earlier, sometimes this can mean looking at meals and asking what else can I add versus take away. Sometimes it can feel a little bit scary, especially with when weight loss is the goal, to add more food. But trust me on this one, try it and see how your hormones, your energy and mood all our impact. Honoring your hunger and fullness cues was also a big game changer, especially for me, and something that I talk to a lot of my clients about. Oftentimes, if you've come from a long line of dieting, we're told to just drink more water. If you're feeling hungry, maybe you're just thirsty, or chew gum or drink coffee, or, you know, substitute all these sugar-free foods if you're craving sugar. And a lot of the times that just backfires and we start to get fearful of our hunger. So learning to honor the body when we're feeling hungry, but also on the flip side, checking in and tuning in and being more mindful of when you are eating your meals and not getting to that point where we're feeling uncomfortably full. I always say we should kind of leave our meals feeling full and satisfied, but not absolutely stuffed where we feel like we have to undo our pants or we want to go lie down. We want to be at a comfortable level of fullness. This sometimes can be a challenge for people, especially if when they were younger, they were told that they need to clean their plate before they left the dinner table or before they had dessert. Sometimes that habit carries over into adulthood, so it can be really hard to stop eating when you're at that point of fullness and having to eat every single thing on your plate and sometimes feeling sick after. Sometimes it's a conscious decision of slowing down, recognizing that the food's still going to be there. You can have more later if you want. And sometimes taking that scarcity mindset out of mealtime can be very helpful. I did want to slightly touch on exercise and how it can influence our hunger hormones and cravings. This might be a little bit controversial, but sometimes, especially if you're on a weight loss journey, swapping out the high intensity interval training or long bouts of cardio for lower intensity workouts like walking, Pilates, yoga, having more rest days can actually be incredibly helpful for managing hunger and cravings. I'm a true believer that when it comes to exercise, especially for women, we want to be very careful to not overdo it. We want to be mindful of where we're at in our cycle, especially that week before week we're on our cycle, we're a lot more sensitive to stress. So sometimes we need to adjust both our nutrition and our exercise. A good workout program, especially for women to support overall hormone health, is about 3 days of weight training. For me specifically, I like to split this up and do full body, focusing on upper, lower, and then a full body day, incorporating walking every single day, especially after meals for blood sugar regulation. It's great. Incorporating some yoga or Pilates for some mobility, and also just listening to what your body is saying. So if you're waking up and you're absolutely fatigued and tired, sometimes the best thing to do is kind of pull back and do something a little bit more gentle rather than pushing yourself to do those intense, like balls to the walls workout programs. Often that's doing more damage to your hormone health than it is helping. On the topic of exercise, I also recommend looking at exercise as a way to build muscle, to burn off steam, to increase serotonin and energy levels, and just build confidence versus just a means to burn off calories or earn our next meal or burn off a meal that we had that wasn't kind of within our plan. There's also a very deep spiritual connection to undernourishment, poor relationship to food, that runs quite deep and often gets overlooked in conversations around food and dieting. Restricting food doesn't just affect the body, it really impacts us at a soul level. And when we chronically undereat, ignore our hunger cues, or operate from a place of control and fear around food, we're often out of alignment with our deeper self, intuition, and our purpose. As I've mentioned several times, our body is inherently wise and very smart. It tells us when we're hungry and tired, when we need some love and attention, but dieting really teaches us to ignore those signals in favor of external rules. So it keeps us in this sense of disconnection and being out of tune with our inner self. So when we're overriding our hunger or forcing ourselves to eat less, we might also be overriding our deeper needs for pleasure, rest, and self-expression. Obsessing about food and the body can also be a way to feel more in control when life feels uncertain. Spiritually, this can reflect a belief that we must earn love, rest, or nourishment through discipline or shrinking ourselves, and it's often rooted in unworthiness. Something I will often say to clients is that you are worthy of nourishment. You nourish yourself, you show up better. Again, for your work, for your family, for your goals, for your dreams. Chronically dieting or ignoring the body's rhythm often mirrors a disconnection from feminine energy. So flow, receiving, nurturing. Oftentimes certain things like intermittent fasting, calorie counting, cold plunging, those are all have very masculine energies attached to them, and not to say that those things don't serve a purpose or have a time and a place on a health journey, but sometimes, especially for women, we need to have a more kind of feminine approach to our health, one that aligns with our cycle, our energy, our mood, has a sort of sense of intuition around it, a balance and a flow. Sometimes when it comes to healing our relationship to food, it's not necessarily about the food. It's often a coping mechanism rooted in deeper emotional, psychological, physiological, or cultural imbalances. Low self-worth, perfectionism, control, trauma, abuse, emotional suppression, anxiety, OCD tendencies, even our parents' relationship to food can influence it. So healing sometimes goes a little bit deeper than just eat more balanced. It can be nervous system regulation, emotional support, trauma work, gut and hormone balancing, and rebuilding trust in the body and self. So before we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with this. If you've been struggling with food noise, inconsistent energy, hormone imbalances, or that all too familiar cycle of restriction and burnout, you're not alone. And more importantly, you're not broken. It's not that you need more willpower. What you need is more nourishment, true whole body, soul deep nourishment that supports your metabolism, hormones, gut, and emotional relationship to food. That is why I created my signature online program, Nourish, designed for women who are ready to get off the diet roller coaster and feel at home in their bodies again. Starting on June 3rd, we begin this transformative journey together. Inside Nourish, you'll get functional support for metabolism, gut health and hormones, meal plans and protocols, workshops and live Q&As, and tools to heal your relationship with food and reconnect with your body. It's not about a diet. It's rooted in science, soul, and sustainability. You can learn more and save your spot now at www.miaharrisnutrition.com. I would love to support you inside. Until next time, take care of yourself, nourish your body, and trust that healing is possible.